probably my least favorite part of driving, apart from paying for gas, is parking in parking lots. It seems every time I try, it's something of a harrowing experience. Just a few weeks ago, I was moving towards a prime parking place when someone walked in front of my car. And while I was waiting for this distracted shopper to pass out from in front of my bumper, another car came zooming in from the other direction, avoided the pedestrian by the narrowest of margins, and pulled into the spot that I had been aiming for. As I passed, I noticed that the person, after they parked their car, because it was a particularly good parking spot, pointed upward, like a baseball player does after crossing home plate, as if God had somehow, for this one person, intervened personally to bestow on them this prime parking place. I would like to think that maybe this is odd, but really, I know that it's not. We, all of us, are far more likely to see divine benevolence in little things, like parking spots, or the victory of a favorite sports team in, say, just hypothetically, the sixth game of the World Series. But when it comes to big things, we often look elsewhere for the root of success. Most of the time, in fact, we simply look in the mirror. We are more than happy to have God make our lives easy. But to affect our salvation? No, thanks, we can handle that on our own, we say. Jesus today isn't talking about parking spots or March Madness or even spring training. He's talking about a much bigger picture. Remember that time, Jesus says, when Israel was in the wilderness and they were beset by snakes, and Moses put a bronze serpent on a pole and lifted it high in the air, and everyone who looked at it was saved from the venom of snakes? Remember that? Well, of course, Nicodemus, his audience, remembered that. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He ran the temple. He was expected to know the Bible. And he also knew that King Hezekiah, years later, had destroyed that snake, that bronze serpent made by Moses, because the people of Jerusalem had begun to confuse the snake as a means of getting to God with something that should be worshipped, and had worshipped it instead. Well, Jesus replied, sin is poisoning humanity just as those snakes did to the Israelites. So God is going to lift up the Son of Man, and everyone who looks to the Son of Man and believes will be saved from the venom of sin and death. There's a problem, though, and it sort of reminds me of my little brother a little bit. My youngest brother is a self-described math super genius. When he was in grade school, though, there seemed to be a problem with his math skills because he kept getting the lowest test scores in the class. Well, the teacher and my parents sat down and had a meeting. It turned out that my brother's teacher would put little helpful hints whenever they had a test or a quiz. She'd put hints on the board to sort of help them along with the more difficult parts of the test. My brother, though, being a self-described math super genius, refused to look at the board until he had finished, because he was convinced that he could do it all on his own without any help. It took my parents quite a while to convince him that it was okay to let other people help you. And that's the rub. When Moses put up the snake in the wilderness, I'm sure that there were some people who refused to look. No, really, they said. It's just a scratch. I'll be fine. I don't need saving. And so they didn't look to the bronze serpent, and they died. And later, the people in the temple were perfectly happy to ascribe salvation to a lump of bronze with a vague S shape to reduce God's ability to work in the world to these little totems these bronze serpents, so that they could get their minds around God and what he does, so that God was small and safe. It wouldn't impose too much on their illusion that they had made themselves into a great nation by pulling really hard on their own sandal straps. The issue is, they didn't believe that they needed saving. But the reality is, as Paul reminds us, that all of this, all of creation, and especially our new life in Christ, is grace, pure free gift that we can never hope to measure up to, not ever. God, who loves us, gives us this great grace without expectation of repayment, and in fact is so eager for us to be saved that he makes it easy for us. In this masterpiece of reconciliation, this timely adoption of all humanity, God wants to make it as clear as possible, as simple as it can be. Look this way. Look to the cross and be saved. Enter into the mystery of God's relentless freight train of love and adoption. Or look the other way. Look away from the cross and be left beside the train tracks as the train goes by, trying to save yourself. In order to be saved, we first need to admit that we need saving. I think that I've mentioned before that I worked at a church camp during my college summers, and for most of that time, I was a lifeguard. One week, there was a small fourth-grade girl who came to camp. She was not particularly comfortable in the water, but wanted to be with her friends in the deep end. And so she got in a little over her head. I walked down to the dock to where she was struggling to stay afloat and offered her some help in the form of one of those red flotation tubes that all lifeguards seem to perpetually carry around. "Here," I said as I offered it, "take it." "No," she replied as she paddled furiously to keep her head above water. "I don't need it. I'm fine." I didn't reply, but I just stood there, holding out the tube so it was within arm's reach of her. She looked up at me and said, "Maybe you could just throw me an inner tube that I could float on?" "Why don't you just take this?" I said, still offering the lifeguard tube. "No, really," she said, now visibly struggling to keep her head above water. "I'm fine." After a few more seconds, the cold of the lake began to sap all the strength out of her limbs. And after a few seconds, her mouth went underwater. And then her nose. And finally, she grabbed on to the tube. In today's gospel, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, so that the whole world might be saved through him." God's love for his creation is so relentless that he gives us the opportunity to free ourselves from the venom of sin and death. God loves us so completely that he makes it easy, Jesus says. All we have to do is look to the cross and be saved. Amen.